This is Zach with the Texas Yurt Company, and whether you're looking for a backyard retreat, a yoga studio, or you're just another sex therapist looking for a discreet yet comfortable and inviting space in which to have your clients divulge their darkest secrets and fantasies, everybody needs a yurt. Head to texasyurts.com.
What up, what up, what up? You've made it to another episode of Politically Non-Binary with your host, Ariel Isaac Norman. That's me. This is the podcast where guests come on to make their case for a societal change that they believe in, and they argue it to me, who is a stand-in for the audience, because I am quite politically androgynous and fluid. I generally see everybody's points, but I also have questions for just about everything. I don't even believe in my own opinion. You know, I got questions for my own opinions, so I'll say it that way. So today's guest is Caitlin Durante, who is a comic, a comedian, and also one of the hosts of the very popular Bechdel Cast podcast, where they dissect movies, all kinds of movies, thinking about it. You know, if you don't know the Bechdel test, it's that Alison Bechdel, she's a cartoonist. She wrote Fun Home, among other things, like kind of popularized the graphic novel memoir to a lot of us. Did she start the graphic novel memoir? I don't know much about graphic novels. I've really only read hers and like maybe two others. So Alison Bechdel also came up with the Bechdel test, and it's something like a movie passes the Bechdel test if there is even one scene in it where there are at least two women talking to each other and the conversation is not about a man. So you would be surprised, even though that sounds like a low bar, you would be surprised how few movies pass that. And I think out of that test came the idea of the Bechdel Cast podcast, where they talk about movies of all sorts that, you know, thinking about it through the lens of sort of feminist critique, I guess. You know, just thinking about it from a perspective of like, what is this movie doing in the culture, especially as regards to women and its effect on women? Yeah. Okay. So Caitlin Durante is great. She's funny. She came to Austin to visit to do comedy. And so it was great to catch up with her. I had her on my off-script show where we encourage the audience to heckle and give out prizes. That's so fun. We just did that in Austin. And the next one will be May 14th in Austin. But then there's also going to be one in San Marcos on May 1st, if you want to come to that. This episode will be out in time for, like, there's all kinds of Moon Tower shows going on. I can't remember my schedule, so you can look that up on the website, or else, you know, just follow me on Instagram at Ellen DeGenderless if you want to, you know, come to more shows and whatever. Anyway, I'll be back at the end to say more, but enjoy the episode. Oh, so we're going to talk about, in case you don't already know from whatever my teaser clip winds up being, we're going to talk about the portrayal of police in movies, at least in American movies. It occurred to me after the podcast that we really didn't talk about international films at all, and whether she has any opinions on how cops are portrayed in Bollywood or Scotland or whatever. Scollywood? But anyway, yeah, so she had a lot of thoughts and opinions about the portrayal of cops in movies, and also just, you know, we talked about police in general and what we could maybe do in society to improve policing. So there's definitely stuff in here that people might hard agree or disagree with. And that's the other aspect of this podcast, is that guests, people can ask to come on the podcast, not only if they have an argument that they want to make, a new argument that they want to make for societal change, but also if you hear an episode of this podcast and you go, they're wrong about all this, or just they missed this or that, or I'd like to add X, Y, or Z to the equation, then you can reach out to me and just share your points or ask to be on the podcast. I may say no because you might be crazy or something, but or just, you know, you're not smart or articulate enough. But if you are someone, you know, who should be on a podcast, then I would love to have you on the podcast to come and contribute, because the whole idea of this podcast is really that, you know, we talk about this divisive country and how polarized it is and how everyone really should be having conversations. We should be able to listen to each other. But the truth is, most of you guys are so in your bubbles. You hate confrontation so much. You don't want to talk to each other. And I don't know how to really solve that, other than like social media issues and parenting. I don't know, but I like talking to everyone. I don't mind disagreement. I kind of agree with everyone. I kind of disagree with everyone. I don't really fit neatly into some kind of political situation. I also don't really have a bubble when it comes. I mean, I try very hard not to be in too much of any bubbles. I try to be in all the bubbles. I try to pop all the bubbles. But so I like talking to people all around the various spectra politically. So you can kind of just use me as your middleman. Instead of talking to each other, we'll just talk to me. I will be sympathetic. So, yeah, if you hear some stuff about cops that you go, hey, they're fucking wrong or whatever, then hit me up. You can email me at ariel.norman@gmail.com. I don't want to give you my other email address. That's the one that's just become my everything email now. ariel.norman@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Instagram at Ellen DeGenderless. Okay, now enjoy the episode.
Yeah, I took some, because I had LASIK eye surgery a while back, and they gave me 2 Xanaxes, and I was just like...
For like while you're on the...
Yeah, just as part of like the prep, because apparently having your eyeballs lasered open is very stressful. And
You have to be awake for it?
Yeah.
See that? Yeah, you'd have to be on the eyes.
Yeah, so I was like, yeah. They're like, do you want 1 or 2? I'm like, give me 2.
1 for each eye, baby.
And then I felt great. I was like, woo, I love this.
Yeah, damn, all right. I guess I was going to try it, because that's what bars are, right? Bars,
anyway. Zanzibar.
Is that why we call them bars?
Such a like dork when it comes to drug stuff. I don't know any drug things.
I'm non-binary about being a dork when it comes to drug stuff. I think I know the other I'm not, but like, but I can't remember. There's some drugs that I get confused, but now I'm like, wait, is that what it is? That Xanax is bars? Or is that one?
I don't know what you speak.
I think the people call it bars, but I think so. Because I think there was a plan once where I was going to have a threesome with these chicks, and they really liked having like a margarita and like a quarter bar.
Okay.
And that's like a really great headspace to be in for something that could be anxiety. You know, like sure. the getting into that kind of thing. And I'm like, that does seem fun. Even though I enjoy threesome without drugs, but still just, and I'm like, I could see, since we can't get Quaaludes anymore, we just gotta
whatever
we can find. Anyway, so would you introduce yourself to the audience however you want to?
Oh, sure. My name is Caitlin Durante. I am a comedian, podcaster, other stuff, other nouns. And the end.
Caitlin Durante, comedian and podcaster. I think it's fine because I read the same thing when I'm trying to write my little profiles or whatever. I'm like, look, I'm a comedian and podcaster. There's other stuff, but like, is that not enough?
Yeah. What do you want me to say? That I love Paddington too? I do.
Some people have one job. We have what wrapped up in comedian and podcaster are. Usually, 19 to 38 jobs. So,
great.
Like, it's enough. It's enough. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, thanks for being here. And what would you like to convince society of today?
I think that Hollywood needs to stop making movies and shows where cops are the like awesome heroes that save the day, / like any media that is completely uncritical of policing as an institution.
Can you tell me a particular movie that's been like an egregious example of this?
I can give you like 100 movies.
Yeah. By the way, just like what's funny with this topic is just like I watch so few movies that I'm like, well, I know there are buddy cop movies that I've never seen. I watched Serpico, which I thought was a great movie, which I think you might approve of.
That one I think tends to be, because I just did a poll on Twitter asking people to submit movies that are critical of the policing, and that one came up a lot.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen Serpico. I don't think.
You should watch it. I think you would like it. As far as I remember, it's been many years, but as far as I remember, the whole movie is like a guy who wants to be a cop, and he wants to be a good cop, and he gets in and he just runs into corruption that is entrenched, that is like, I can't remember if he winds up becoming corrupt himself ultimately, or if he tries to fight it so hard. Mm. And just every layer that he goes up, it turns out, well, they're corrupt too.
Right.
And so, like, it's just this, I think it was from the '70s, right? It's one of these where it was like a really gritty, like hard, dark look at what the world is really like, you know, anything. It's sure. LAPD. It could be, it's one of the big cities.
Yeah.
It's either New York or LA or something. But it just shows like this whole, the thing that I hear people on the left, you know, ACAB types talking about when they're saying like that, it's not just that there are some bad cops, but that the whole system is so fucked up.
Yes.
That we can't keep going this way. Like, that movie is like about that.
Okay.
It's about just how bad it is. And it seemed to me like they really nailed that back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I would think more people who are kind of in the like, well, let's just reform cops a little bit. And I know a lot of good cops, and their jobs are dangerous and hard and like whatever. People who are in that category, I'm like, they also like those kind of movies. Because it's like, who's the star of one of the Italians who is in mafia movies?
Oh,
you know,
Serpico?
Serpico.
Al Pacino.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mrs. I watch very few movies, so you hear me trying to. But I, you know what I mean? It's the kind of movie that it's not like a liberal movie. You know what I mean? Like, this
sure.
is a, of course, that was a different time, but like, that's a movie we could all watch together and go, here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
You know, so now what are we going to do?
Right.
So I think that's the kind of thing that you're talking about. But like, yeah, so tell me some of the movies that are getting this wrong.
So there's a whole slew, and these come in different forms. It's like, it spans across genres. Like, some of these are like gritty crime dramas. Some of them are like silly comedies. Some of them are like sci-fi movies. So one version of this is just like kind of officers who save the day. So you got your Die Hard franchise, Speed, Fargo, Bad Boys.
Oh, Fargo.
Yeah,
okay, I have seen that one.
Then you've got the kind of like detective solving a crime subgenre. So that's like Seven, Minority Report, Point Break, Knives Out, Blade Runner, Beverly Hills Cop, and on and on. Then there's like another version, which is like FBI or like agents from another federal agency who are like maybe trying to find a serial killer or something like that. So that's stuff like Silence of the Lambs, Miss Congeniality, Men in Black, arguably. You could also throw like spy movies into the mix if you wanted to, since they are like enforcers and like crime fighters for like government agencies. So like all of your Bond movies, the Mission Impossible movies, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think this gives me, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could keep going, but like, I think this gives me an idea of like what you're talking about, the scope of this. Because yeah, some of the things you're talking about, like with James Bond or even Mission Impossible. No, not that one. The Aliens.
Men in Black.
You can see the neuronal networks trying to find their way through your movies.
I'm here to be your encyclopedia, your movie encyclopedia.
Some of those, like, I don't even think of those as cops in those movies. Like, alien cops, like, aren't they a special forces of the government, you know?
Right? Yeah. And yet, any movie that, like, and it wouldn't be a problem if there weren't already so many other movies that glorify policing,
mm-hmm.
but because there's such a vested interest in like showing cops as like, oh, these are, that any movie, and maybe I'm like, maybe I'm being ridiculous here to like include Men in Black in
mm-hmm.
this, but to me, any movie that shows any kind of like agent of some institution
yeah.
that does law enforcement, like is kind of guilty of this like copaganda problem because
yeah.
like, I didn't even list a bunch of, and some of these are like some of my favorite movies. Like, I love Minority Report. I think
mm-hmm.
that's a great movie.
Yeah, this is another one where I was like, oh, is he a cop? I remember.
Yeah, he's a cop.
Yeah, okay.
He's like a detective. Hot Fuzz is one of my favorite movies. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I guess he's, I don't know,
a
he might be a private eye.
Detective.
So Private Eye,
that's
a little
different.
Bit different.
But Fargo, yeah, so that, that sweet cop woman with the accent
yeah.
does help. That, you know, yeah, that was a really positive. But I feel like that's different. A cop in a small community where, you know, you just need to have a few people who really are there to, you know what I mean? Like, I could see that existing. I think it's when we get to the big cities is when the corruption really starts anyway, and the bad policing and the bad hiring practices and all that. I think when you're out in the middle of Wisconsin or whatever, probably
Fargo, is it one of the Dakotas?
Yes, it's very, yeah, but they do have it on a sign or something.
Yeah.
Fargo something.
Fargo, South Dakota.
Yeah.
I don't know.
but I think maybe there it is more true that like cops are just, you know, nice members of the community who are doing their job and helping people generally, you know. And if you're in a smaller place, you can't get away with corrupt copying that much.
So there's like obviously corruption in the sense that they are abusing their power or, you know, they're whatever, like getting paid off so that, you know, whatever criminals like can get away with their crimes. I'm talking, well, I mean, that's obviously like a major concern, but I'm talking more from a point of view of policing, at least in this country, was like founded on and derived from just like racism. So like cops, like modern day police forces have roots in like slave patrols, like post or like during and like during the Civil War. They also have roots in patrols that would go around and like just beating the shit out of or like doing whatever to what they considered dangerous classes, which were generally non-white people, immigrants, and poor people. Mm-hmm. So that's like what the institution of policing in this country is founded on.
Right. That's why the Irish started becoming cops more. They wanted to be the ones beating people up instead of getting beat up, I think, you know.
Right, right. And like, yeah, and like a lot of like early policing was breaking up like workers that were just trying to unionize mm-hmm. and like having violent street battles about it and stuff like that. So there's all these like these like racist and classist roots that have not gone away. And
yeah.
A lot of like, again, just modern policing is targeting black and brown people and doing and murdering them often mm-hmm. and like doing a bunch of other fucked up stuff. So, and so few movies like explore that aspect of policing at all and are like critical of that. So, and instead they're just like, yeah, look at these awesome oh my gosh, isn't freaking like The Heat starring Sandra Bullock such a fun movie? Isn't The Fifth Element where Bruce Willis is a cop in the future? Isn't that fun? Isn't it so fun when Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are cops in 21 Jump Street? And it's like, yeah, it is fun because those are like fun movies, but that's the problem is like painting cops as like funny, lovable characters who save the day when they're actually going out and like breaking up Black Lives Matter protests and like murdering black people.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, we've got a couple of things to pick apart here. So, one of them is that I did look into this because I have been hearing people say that lately, that policing is founded in racism.
Yeah.
So at least according to this article that I found, that was written in 2013, which I thought was nice because it kind of puts us not in the last couple of years. It does. I just can't trust anything that on the internet. These children are copy pasting things, and it's kind of perspective driven rather than somewhat ahistorical, whatever. But so this guy seemed to be, you know, looking at it in a more objective way. It seemed like that. And what he was saying was that in the South, it absolutely started, and it was slave patrols. And then and it was, you know, returning slaves, beating slaves, keeping them in line. As soon as slavery was officially ended, it was enforcing Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. So that seems like that just is the case. Now, right. In the North, it's had a more complicated origin and it doesn't seem like it was actually rooted in slavery exactly. It was something that they had started doing in England and we were kind of copying them. There was an informal and communal kind of thing called The Watch, or Private For-Profit Policing. Mm-hmm. So it was composed of people who were either volunteers. So Boston creates a night watch in 1636, New York in 1658, Philadelphia in 1700. It wasn't very effective because a lot of the times these volunteers were just either sleeping and or drinking, which feels familiar. And then some of them were theoretically volunteers, but they were actually doing it because it was a way to evade military service. So these people aren't like passionate about their jobs, in other words.
Right.
In other words, or yeah, they were forced into service by their town. Some of them, it was a punishment to be in there, so that doesn't go well.
Right, it wasn't like a glorified
Let's do
job.
This
it wasn't like,
yeah.
like the citizens weren't like, oh my god, I'm so glad that we have this entity to protect and serve the community. It was like, look at these narcs.
Yeah, so it yeah, exactly. You're right that the roots don't seem great. Even outside of the South, even in the North, it's just kind of like, so then they augment this watch system with constables who are paid, but it's like they're still getting paid from warrants that they serve and things. So it's, you know how we talked about the last few days of the month, you're getting more tickets.
They fill a quota.
So it's even in the beginning, there's some amount of like, how are we going to pay for this? Well, they'll pay for themselves, and then that never goes well because now their incentives are all kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, they're serving warrants. Like, I guess it's not that bad. That's just, you know, that's part of their... But then, and they were also doing things like land surveying, verifying weights and measures, and then supervising this night watch. So it kind of, like, is getting cobbled together, right? So even the ways that we're talking now about, well, cops should really be also social workers who are doing these things, like, they were just making up jobs for them. Like, okay, well,
right.
We'll have you assess that. And so it's all kind of random. Now, starting in the earlier 19th century, we get a centralized one. And in 1838, Boston establishes an American police force, and then New York, and then Albany, and Chicago, and all these cities. By 1880s, all major U.S. cities have municipal. But then the issue is, you know, because at this point, yes, like, originally, yeah, you just have this night watch of drunks who it might help because occasionally there's a little bit of crime. But as cities get bigger, we do run into an issue where now, because we don't only know each other, now because, you know, you have to face each other, now because of poverty as well, you do start to have violence and crime, prostitution.
Right.
But however you feel about that leads, now we also have to deal with the crimes around prostitution. And so... Sometimes they were just trying to police and stop the prostitution from happening at all, but also once you have prostitution in cities, you have to do something about the rape, the murder, whatever. And but of course, a lot of times this doesn't happen. Like, we want them to protect,
right? And
people.
I mean,
and
in theory, it's
right.
A good thing that there's an organization that like protects
yeah.
the community and like prevents or solves violent crimes and you know stuff like that. That's obviously. In theory, good. It's just like the execution and the practice of like policing from its roots and up until today is bad.
Right. So it does seem like the roots are dicey at best,
yeah.
and horrible, but also, you know, of the time at worst in the South. It was the law they were upholding. It was just shitty laws.
Terrible.
yeah. And a little bit of extrajudicial stuff was happening as well, I'm sure. And so, but then, so it's like, and maybe they started even at times where we shouldn't have, but at some point in cities, and especially in cities with capitalism, which, you know, like, let's just forget the utopia we'd all like to live in, because I don't know when we're going to get to that.
Right.
But as long as we still are doing capitalism and doing these, like, the more, when you have discrepancies in wealth, when you have poor people, like, whatever, like, there's the issue of crime and also the issue, I mean, because it's not just, yeah, maybe the cops don't usually solve rape maybe the rapists don't all go to prison, but the threat of going to prison does, I think, dissuade a lot of people. And there are parts of cities, there's times when New York has been really, you know, this is what you hear anyway, that like New York is really crime ridden. And then Giuliani, whatever he did get crime to be going down. Right. There's places where you just can't get in your car past a certain time at night without three bodyguards, or they're going to carjack you, and you have to lock it right away. And, you know, like, there are times like that. And, like, we're privileged, I assume, you, whatever, you know, where we aren't necessarily have to live in these neighborhoods in these times where we're really worried about crime. But even though it's been flawed from the beginning and the roots are horrible, whatever, we do still get a lot of benefit from the fact that there is the rule of law, that there are people who are policing that, that there is some threat of that, that you can call the cops, that you can, that there are, there is the threat of that they might, you know, be around or whatever. I mean, it's like something where I'm like, I don't think we can just get rid of them.
No, so I think, society would, I'm sure, crumble. Yeah. But it's not, it's just about completely, we just need to hit a reset button. Because, again, the way that the institution is just, like, not sure, it, like, protects people, but it largely protects, like, upper middle class white people. And anyone else is, like, any marginalized community is not being served. So,
well, I wouldn't say they're not being served. I know there are people who live in tougher neighborhoods who are like, hey, we're glad that there are cops, and it's better than not. They're not always, you know, and some cops are better than others, whatever. So I just want to, you know, like, let's just speak in as clear ways that we can, because it's not that they're not being served, but a lot of them aren't being served well. A lot of them are, you know, yeah, really underserved or whatever.
Sure. I mean, it's weird to, like, make sweeping generalizations about things, but, like, I'm still of the mind where even if there's, like, a cop that is a nice guy and he, you know, maybe he has a family and he really cares about his family and he does care about his community and he's not, either he doesn't think he's racist, he's like, no, whatever, it's still, it's like an institutional thing is the problem. And it's the fact that there just needs to be defunding, the system needs to be dismantled. And again, I'm not saying that, like, there shouldn't be people out there who, like, are there whose job it is to solve murders or to, like, break up a violent fight or, you know, anything like that. Like, that is, I mean, because people can't be trusted to, like, not, but also, like, if you can, I mean, a lot of crime is, it happens because people are desperate because they're living in poverty because of a capitalist system. And honestly, crime would be vastly reduced if we lived in just a more equitable society.
To me, I'm like, first and foremost, we really ought to put most of our efforts into that. And the cop situation would get better just as a byproduct of there being less crime.
Hopefully,
if
yeah.
we had lived in a more equitable place. And that's something where it's like, you know what you should do if you hate poor people? Make sure that people aren't poor anymore. And that's the direction we ought to go in, and people would sleep better at night if they didn't have to think about the fact that they're rich and other people are starving and can't afford, you know, whatever. Like, I don't understand why more people are more focused on that.
Right.
And so if we take aside fixing the economy, just for the sake of this conversation,
right.
Then it's like, okay, if we're just looking at the cop situation, when we talk about defunding the police or hitting the reset button, anything like that, like, what would that look like on a practical level? Like, do we start in one city and go, like, let's try firing everyone and how do we, you know what I mean?
Right. I honestly don't have an answer to that because I don't know enough. I'm not an expert in this particular topic. I'm an expert in movies, which is why I'm approaching it from this point of view. But like, yeah, I mean, I know there are theorists who are trying to, like, figure out how do we restructure this system of, like, keeping a community safe. How do you actually execute that? Again, I don't know enough about it. I'm not, like, a I didn't get like a PhD in whatever you would even need to get a PhD for that.
Eight things.
I have a master's degree in screenwriting.
Well, I was curious to see how far we could get into this because it's like, I want to have a clear idea of like where you're at with what the play should look like before we talk about then what movies should look like. Right.
Right. I mean, I think it needs to be, training needs to be completely revamped. So I know someone who there's like in LA, in the LAPD, there was an initiative that I think was pretty new that, they will partner an officer with a social worker mm-hmm. and they will respond to, like calls of, maybe domestic violence or calls of like someone threatening suicide or something like that. And so they have like a trained mental health professional mm-hmm. on scene to deal with that. Because famously, when it's just cops with the training they have, it does not go well.
Especially for women.
Right.
Yeah, no, so I think that gives us a natural... So yeah, I guess that's the thing. Forget how we get there. If you... What we would want it to look like is, I assume, better hiring practices for one, because I know we hire a lot of, ex-military people. Some of them have PTSD and they're a little trigger happy. So better hiring practices, and we probably need fewer cops. They may need to be and much better trained. They may need to even be paid more, but we can kind of get to that once we make sure they're actually doing a really good, if we're asking a lot of them and they're really trained and they're doing it, like then we could pay them more.
In theory.
I'm just saying, let's keep the conservatives happy too, And then, being paired with social workers, especially on domestic violence calls, especially on things like that, where you don't want these, men who just don't understand to walk in and start asking a woman horrible questions if she just got raped or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. yes. Now there may be a little gay social worker boy who can't ask those questions too. But this leads me to, a thing about movies, right? So like the buddy cop movies that we should be making now are that cop and social worker. Now we have this kind of, masculine, feminine, good cop, bad cop thing going on. Wouldn't that be fun? Because I've heard that idea before, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, send social workers out with them. So let's start making movies where we're imagining that, whether it's, funny ones and series one, both, whatever romance, we can do every different version of that. And the social worker is the bad cop and the cop's the good cop, and like there's lots of things we could start exploring with these ideas of people have reform ideas for the police right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a direction for people to go with making movies is like, instead of these kind of old ones, like we did the hero thing. We did I read children's books sometimes to little kids and there's a lot of like kind of propaganda, if you will, in them too, where we're just going like, but it's all just like, this is a police officer. He'll help you if you would. This is a firefighter. He'll get your cat out of a tree. This is the, mm-hmm. we're kind of teaching kids to trust authority figures, which, pros and cons.
Sure.
But you can see that that's just kind of what we thought was a good idea as a culture was you want to kind of teach people like, these are our heroes. You respect them. They help us. In an ideal world, that's all true. And you do get to respect and defer to their authority but we don't live in this ideal world. So now it's like, do we want that in our children's books? And then with these movies, okay, we've done this for decades. We've made most of the movies, a few Serpico's aside, The Wire. Mm-hmm. Most of the movies have been just kind of like, oh yeah, of course we're on the cop side and they're ultimately good people.
Right.
But now it's time to just move on from that, and we don't need the, but I mean, I generally don't think we need most of the pablum that gets made.
True. And I mean, like, I understand why there are so many movies like this, because just from a storytelling point of view, like a crime that needs to be solved or a criminal who needs to be caught is like generally a compelling vehicle for a story because it's ripe with tension and conflict. It's like any kind of like, if it's like a whodunit or like this person equals bad and these good people need to save the day. That's what a lot of stories are. So I understand that why that's such a popular premise for movies and shows. But again, the problem is that so few of them examine critically at all what policing actually often is and how it's executed. There are a handful of movies that are critical of the institution. So I have a few of them. Some of these I have not seen. I've seen several of them, but I was, again, kind of like polling and reading up on them. 13th, that documentary by Ava DuVernay.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
Is
that
obviously extremely critical. Great movie. Highly recommend. Then there's ones like Do the Right Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Fruitvale Station. Straight Outta Compton. Sorry to Bother You. Boys in the Hood. The Hate U Give. If you notice a theme here, these are all films by Black filmmakers. There are other movies, too, like L.A. Confidential is another one that like shows a lot of corruption in a police department. Training Day, which I actually have not seen, from what I understand, examines like a very crooked cop situation. There's a movie like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which I think tries, but then ultimately kind of fails.
Oh, yeah. I thought you just meant there were three billboards.
This is the name of the movie. A very clunky title, but it's a movie, and it like tries to be critical of policing, but like ultimately it's not executed well. The Departed like examines corruption in Boston PD, but I don't know. So maybe that's an example. There's a movie called Den of Thieves, which acknowledges deputy gangs in the LA County Sheriff's Department. So, like, that's a whole other thing where, like, sheriff's departments will have these, like, gangs, basically, that operate extremely similarly to, like, street gangs, basically. But they're doing crime, and they're, like, all murdering Black and brown people all the time. There's an awesome piece of journalism by Cerise Castle, specifically about the LA County Sheriff's Department gangs, deputy gangs, that I would recommend for anyone who wants to read that. But, and there, sure, of course, there are movies that portray cops as kind of like incompetent. This happens in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze, you know, so like not every
movie. Is that one you've seen?
Yes, one of my favorites. There's a movie, you know, like Batman Begins examines corruption in the police force, but then Batman also, and that's kind of like why Batman has to be a vigilante, but then he also ends up like working with one of the cops. So there's a lot, it's like a spectrum where like some of the movies that even have like protagonists who are cops are still critical of some aspects of policing, but then other ones are just like completely uncritical. It's nuanced, it's complex. Yeah. And then there's also like a bunch of movies that I haven't seen. Serpico's on this list. RoboCop, people were like, yeah, it's super critical of like policing. And then other people were like, no, it's not. So like, but then like Copland, Bad Lieutenant, like these were being listed. I don't know. And then I just like have so many, there's just so many cop movies.
And so like, how would you describe like what your problem is like with these cop movies?
It's that so many, like, again, they're just not critical or like accurately represent so much of what, and it's tricky because like are like murder detectives, the people who are going to like demonstrations for Black Lives Matter and like tear gassing the protesters or like, you know, like beating people up, or is it like whatever, like FBI agents who are the ones who are going like strangling that Black people and killing them? Like maybe sometimes, but like usually it's like the more like whatever uniformed like officers, and that's often not who is the protagonist of a lot of these movies, but it still paints like just any law enforcement person often as these like heroes who we can definitely trust and they never do anything wrong.
Well, I mean, what I hear saying is like the default for these movies being generally pro cop and or not critical of the cop world is that it is, promoting trust in the institutions, in institutions in general.
Right.
So a lot of stuff, from the children's books to just a funny buddy cop movie, just generally upholds Americans' trust in institutions. And I think that was where we become like, well, what's better, to let people just continue down this path where we all don't trust any institutions at all? And kind of, we've been devolving into this sort of anime. Someone pointed out to me the other day that they were like, no, I don't think we really do have America anymore. In a lot of ways, like in the post-Trump world, we already kind of live in a dissolved nation. Like we don't, we aren't united anymore, basically. And so we are just kind of, we don't want to admit to ourselves, but we're in a post-America time already. Now, I'm not sure exactly what to make of that, but some things are holding up, but they're all fine by you, except like what's going to happen instead. You know, that's my worry. And I think a lot of people's worries, like, I think the Constitution was a really nice idea that we didn't need a king, and that even though we weren't going to be connected really by some kind of ethnic minority or ethnic religious situation, that we were going to be able to like be this nation together and self-govern, and that they knew the politicians would wind up being the corrupt, you know, pieces of shit narcissists, but if we have checks and balances in place, it's going to work out anyway. Like that has gone pretty well. We have evolved and improved. We did eventually get rid of slavery and things like, you know, whatever. But what else? But the point is like, so if we don't do America anymore, like where do we, you know, what do we, with Indiana Jones swap it out? Like, I'm worried about this transition.
Good movie reference. Yeah, I'm impressed. Things. I mean, yeah,
we should probably talk about that the CIA is a corrupt institution that is mostly just at the behest of crime families who are want to control. I mean, there's enough corruption even that just like, and there's enough where our government mostly isn't using money properly that like, I don't know that we shouldn't go back to some kind of drawing board, but.
I mean, right, because a lot of institutions are broken and need to be revamped, but I think it's a very daunting task, and I understand that that's probably why no one wants to do it, because it's like, how do you hit the reset button on an entire, like, because our education system isn't great.
Yeah, people want to talk about defund the police. I'm like, defund the education system. Defund all of these teachers. There's like 3% of them who are good. You think cops have a bad rate? You know, like, Jesus.
I mean, the healthcare system.
The healthcare system needs to be completely trashed.
Every aspect of law, where it's like, whatever the, like, I mean, makers of laws to the prison system, like, prison industrial complex, the military industrial complex, all of these institutions are like just not really the best that they can be.
Not even close. So yeah, but that's it. So that is the thing. Like basically the real problem is just that when you make these silly cop movies, when you make these silly anything movies, or just not even silly, but just where they look like good, well, we're it's like a palliative. It's like letting us pretend that we live in a functional society where,
which
you can,
like, I understand I like to watch escapist media that makes me forget about the horrors that surround me in society. Mm-hmm. I get it, but media is influential. And for everyone who's always like, oh, it's just a movie, it's just a video game, it's like, yeah, but also these things are extremely influential to people, and they have the power to like affect our perceptions of individuals, of groups of people, of an entire institutions. So when so many movies are basically propaganda, because it's like, look how awesome all these cops are, and they don't criticize an institution that very heavily needs to be criticized, then I think that's why so many people throughout the course of history have been reticent and or just like have been hesitant or anything like that to criticize institutions, because we just keep seeing media that reinforces this idea that no, everything's actually fine.
It's like that, I can't remember the name of it, but that experiment where if everybody else says the one line is longer than the other, then most of the people will just, even though it visibly isn't, most people will just go along with the crowd.
Right.
So the more we all see that, if we have all these movies where cops are good, wherever there's not that crime, where it's just generally good, then everyone else must believe that. So, you know, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, no, it's not. Yeah, I mean, that makes some sense to me. So basically your appeal really at this point is mostly to screenwriters or producers to not do those projects.
Make movies about other people.
Or
other
if they're going to be about cops, then be critical and be realistic about what's going on.
Or if you want to do like crime fighting type stuff. I mean, not that we necessarily need like more superhero things out there, but
I'm good.
Like, I don't know, there's just other narratives to explore, and we don't need more movies that like, yeah, just are like, isn't it so awesome that, and like, even so, like Zootopia is a movie that I've been thinking about a lot. I don't know if you saw it, but it's about like this bunny cop who moves to the big city and like uncovers this like city hall conspiracy. But it's also, it tries to be an allegory about racism, but it like biffs it really hard. And it's just like, I guess you're trying, but at the end of the day, you still made a movie where a cop is this awesome hero. And she's like a racist cop because there's like this weird allegory where it's like prey animals are white people ? And predator animals are like racial minority. Like, it's just, it doesn't track and like nothing. Anyway, so we need to try harder. That's what I'm saying, Hollywood.
Is there any argument to be made that having cops be good people and good detectives, whatever, might be inspiring for any of these cops, that they could want to be good? I mean, if you're a bad cop, if you're a corrupt cop who's really just like, you know, taking drugs and money from people and beating people, you know, being an asshole, whatever. If you see good cops, I would think you would have some feeling, especially if it were like a really brave, hearty kind of good cop, like a good, like, something inspiringly, like this guy is sacrificing and he's, you know, he could be corrupt, but he's choosing not to. Like, I could see that being good for, the thing that I think would be the worst is movies that are a little bit glorifying bad boy, bad cops, mm-hmm. which you do see that kind of stuff, especially sure. any kind of like, I don't really know about all those mafia movies and stuff, but just there's a lot of that cool vibe to Sopranos-y kind of stuff. Just the way we can watch Mad Men and know intellectually a lot of this behavior is deplorable, but still right. find ourselves wanting to smoke Lucky Strikes because it's so, you know.
Because John Hamm made it look cool.
Yeah, and I'm torn because it's like, I love Mad Men, but there is a lot of this where, at the end of the day, to me, when I judge a movie as like, is this a moral choice to have made this movie? Like, what is it glorifying? You know, because if it's glorifying ultimately bad behavior and you know, corruption, like making it look sexy, just right. like what we make James Bond like makes a lot of stuff look sexy that is pretty questionable, especially in relation to women.
For sure.
But it does look sexy, and you can't help you walk away with that still feeling that like James Bond energy. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I'm like, if we actually showed, like you said, like maybe a more realistic depiction where you see that there's corruption, you see whatever, but what's seen as laudable, what's seen as sexy, what's seen as cool is a protagonist cop who, you know, who rises above this, who does the right things, who reforms his police department. Like,
yeah. I mean, there might be some merit in a narrative like that. It's sort of like a tale of like, yeah, we can turn this thing around. We can reform this police department because we realized all the horrible shit we're doing and that was bad, and we need to fix ourselves. Maybe there's merit in a story like that. But I don't know. Like, I'm convinced. So like, the movie Die Hard. Mm-hmm. When people are talking about like gun laws and like how oh, what if, like, I'm in a crowded place and then there's, like, an active shooter. If I'm allowed to have my gun with me, then I can save the day. I literally think that people have that attitude because they saw Die Hard and they think that, wow. Because that movie's about a cop who's, like, visiting L.A. to, like, go to this, I don't forget, he's, like, visiting his wife or ex-wife or, like, they're recently separated. I don't know, not important. But there's a Christmas party that gets held up by German terrorists. But because there's this one off-duty cop who happens to be there, he's able to, like, save all the hostages and defeat all the terrorists. And he saves the day because of his cop training. And I'm just like, yeah, I think a lot of people saw that movie. And then they're like, I can be the guy who saves the day. If there's some, you know, creep with a gun, I can be John McClane. And it's like, first of all, that almost never happens in those types of situations. And I think that people get seduced by a movie like that. Yeah, they like make things really seem really sexy. And they trick people into thinking that false things are true.
But we do need, you know, but we do need some SWAT teams and things for situations where people are kidnapped, held up in schools, shooting, whatever. Like, so it is something where, like, I think we, if we all sit down and think about it, like, we're going to need some people with guns because there's guns all over this country and we can't put that back in the bottle, right? So we do
as
need
much
this.
As I wish we could.
Well, right. Yeah.
Probably never going to happen.
If we could just do all that. But that's going to happen. So we do need some of these people. And yeah, but like the movies should just be trending. I mean, have they not been trending in a direction for the last couple of years where people are making them more critical?
Yes, I think so. Because a lot of the ones, like I said, that are...
It would seem pretty tone deaf to just come out with like pro-cop movies right now, I feel like.
Yes, that is true. And I think that is happening less and less. So, but also I'm like, I just stopped watching cop movies, basically.
And that's, like, don't want to support this nonsense.
But apparently, like, someone, there's, like, a Michael Bay movie called Ambulance.
Like Batman-type thing? Or Transformers?
Transformers guy. Yeah. Armageddon guy. I don't like any of his movies, and I don't like him as a person. But apparently his movie Ambulance is like sort of critical of the LAPD. So I'm like, okay, Michael Bay, I guess. I haven't seen it, so you didn't hear that from me.
Except that it's on the record.
Except it's on the record.
Well, now I am curious. Cause yeah, I think of him as someone who makes movies that that's not my thing, but like, yeah, if he makes a big movie, a big blockbuster movie that is critical of cops, then maybe that will push the needle, because the kind of people who watch his movies, a lot of them are the kind of people who are probably not anti-cop, not pro, not
sure.
Super reform-minded, super, you know, heavily reform-minded, you know, so maybe that is a good thing that we are going in that direction that you're arguing for anyway, and that we just need to continue to do that and just stop reflexively making movies that are propaganda on accident, just because it's easy as a lazy screenwriter. I mean, we know these screenwriters where you just want to make a movie. And it just, like, here's a device. Maybe you took a damn class, and the class was, like, leading you the simplistic direction of pick one of these genres of movies you like and just, you know, and so these things get made. And people just need to meditate for a few minutes before they sit down and make a cop movie on whether or not this is going to be morally contributive versus just perpetuating
the status quo.
The status quo, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is my awesome, cool stance.
Good. No, I think that's great. I mean, I think it's like you're we're just trying to keep pushing that further. Now, tell me what you think about this. I always promote this idea that we should change the cops' uniforms from what they tend to be dark black or blue to light pink and white, and maybe with the booty shorts, full Reno 911 one episode.
Okay.
Because if you are wearing those outfits, it's going to be harder for you to take yourself as seriously in that shitty way. You know, like the Stanford Prison Experiment where half the people are wearing cop outfits and half of them are, you know, made to be prisoners. And then they just start fulfilling those roles and becoming shitty. If you'd go the other way and make them wear pink and white, make them look like little bunny rabbits, I think actually that would have a really good effect because it's just not, you know what I mean? If you're wearing those dark, you know, you look like a SWAT military and now we're giving them old, you know, military grade equipment a lot of times.
Another part of the problem.
So if we give them little poofies, if we put poofy things on the end of their guns. I mean, I'm like, it sounds like a joke, but at the same time, I'm like, I think this actually would be useful.
Especially, like, the sillier the better.
The sillier the better.
Put them in that Easter Bunny costume.
Yes.
Put them in, like...
That you can run in. You know, a lot of them need all the help they can get running, but...
I like this.
Thank you, because sometimes I bring this up to, you know, good old liberals, and they just are like, they have no time for this. I think this idea, and I'm like, it's like a funny idea that I think is useful. I think that this would be better, because how... much would you, and then especially once your video is online, you know, and you watch these little, I just think cops would change their demeanor if we, because we give humans too much credit. We think we're all these like rational, you know, individual people who are just, we respond to psychological tricks like a lot.
Yeah.
We are very responsive to psychological little tricks. It's embarrassing for us all, but there are tiny little things you can do to people unconsciously that changed the whole game. And I'm like, so is this one of those moments where we talk about the pragmatics of how do we fix the economy? How do we reform education and the police? Like, I don't know how we're going to get the liberals and the conservatives and the people who have the power to get to do things where we really are like, fire everyone, hire for, you know, PhDs in, you know, sociology to decide how we're going to do a social work / cop system. Like, that would be great. Maybe we'll get there one day. Mm-hmm. But short of that, like, this is something at least a city could try, a city with an issue, and just be like, guys, we have a kind of funny idea that maybe bipartisan, if you don't want to defund, okay, conservatives or whatever, pro-cop people, if you don't want to defund the police, then what we are asking of you is that we try the Easter Bunny program.
And then instead of like, right, they're like Hummers and like police tanks, put them in a clown car.
Or make decorate the Hummer in a clown car way. Now, I think the gas mileage on Hummers is alone a big enough reason to stop that.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I just want people to be more compromise-minded. And it just feels like, you know, we shouldn't let our little politicians on a local, much less, you know, larger level, get away with not being compromise-minded. But some people want to paint that as, you know, sleeping with the enemy or whatever. And I'm like, no, we need to figure something out, because if we're so entrenched in pro-cop versus anti-cop. I mean, at least some people love the cops, and other people, you know, spray cap, put ACAP, their whole Tinder bio is BLM, ACAP, fucking cop.
Right.
Like, well, that is a weird way to present yourself. But you know, like that, they're so entrenched in that I'm like, let's find something that we could all agree on. So now you could write the movie where the cops wear pink. And
I will begin that screenplay right now. I know, I'm like, again, I'm not an expert on how to, like, change society.
Me neither, clearly.
I don't know.
My idea is
how to effectively implement change, like, on a large scale. And I don't know if it's more effective to, like, do gradual step-by-step, like, but the thing is, like, something like policing where people's lives are literally at stake and we, like, cannot keep allowing cops to kill people for no reason. The stakes are too high for us to wait around for like very gradual change to be implemented. Like, there does need to be like an immediate restructuring. Again, I don't know how to most effectively do that, but because the stakes are so high, like, we gotta do something fast. But then other things, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I like the idea. I think we should. Yeah, and some of them could be Santa Clauses. Some of them could be...
It could be like Magic Time Machine. Have you ever been to one of those restaurants?
No.
Where every server picks... It used to be that they would pick, like, I don't know, like a Disney character or something. Now it can be kind of anything, like any kind of superhero, Disney movie, whatever. But they all have, like, some elaborate outfit. And there's little weird rooms and stuff that are decorated. But, like, yeah, just each cop has to pick something funny, something uh-huh. silly, and there's, you know, there could be someone in charge, there could be outfits to choose from or whatever. But honestly, you know, it's the same way, it's the same spirit in which we have things like Carnival, where, you know, you turn on society on its head for one day, mm-hmm. and that, you know, if one day, in which we could do this too, if one day a year we all get all the cops walk in a parade and we all get to like yell stuff at them, throw tomatoes on them or whatever, something like that. Because what that does though is not only gives us a valve for our fury or whatever, but it says, you know what? 364 days out of the year, you are going to have this authority that the state abused you with. And an authority that no one else has anything like that. The punishments for hurting you are dire, and there are so many protections for you if you kill someone, where we're going to lean toward you getting to have done that. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, you have to then go one day a year where you walk a gauntlet of how we get to treat you. Mm-hmm. And if you know that you have that day, this is why, you know, societies have had lots of things like this, yeah. where the rich have to go through the street and the poor get to treat them a certain kind of way. We actually need this, I think, in general in America.
Like a purge.
There's a purging kind of thing. You flip things on their head so that not only do we all get that out of our system or whatever, and that helps with order, but so that the incentive is, hey, if we know that they're going to get a turn mm-hmm. at this, then how do we want to treat them the other 364 days of the year? Mm-hmm. So that's my, I guess, societal argument all of a sudden. It's like, we really do. We need Carnival. We need some kind of at least annual holiday. And it's particularly the bigger that our larger these cities and our society get, the more we need these things that we've kind of lost mm-hmm. as we've gotten bigger. And because we, you know, religion has gotten something we just can't agree on how we're going to do it. But it's like, we need some kind of, if it's not going to be a religion exactly per se, we still need national holidays that we can agree on. Things that function as the rituals that our societies have, you know, through their religions they created or whatever. I mean, I don't know exactly where all
a
the
cultural identity.
Cultural identity, something culturally where, yeah, we're all going to do this together. So it's like, I wish we could get the politicians to talk about those things. Like, not just the negative ideas about the bad stuff that whatever, but like, here's an idea. Why don't we have a new holiday where we do this thing? You know, like, I've been talking to a bunch of PhDs in psychology and anthropology, you know, socio whatever, and they have some ideas about how we can improve in society. Why don't we implement this sweeping mm-hmm. change?
I mean, I'm for radical change.
Well, right, that's the crux of this, right? Again, with the institutions that you're like, you don't want to be propagandizing, you know, in these ways. But can we really get these dire changes? What we might not be able to get is scrapping the Constitution. I don't know that we want scrapping the Constitution, by the way. But I don't know that we're going to scrap the cops. I don't know that we're going to scrap the teachers. But there are ways we can do drastic changes that aren't scrapping those things. Drastic changes that then could change those things from within. Such that, like, yeah, can we really get the roots all the way out of the ground? I don't know that we're going to take the whole thing out. But you can start putting manure, folding it in, you know, clipping thing, you know, whatever
sure.
technology.
And a lot of these things are all related, and the root of most of them is capitalism. So honestly, like, we need to, like, address that first. And I honestly think that a lot of things would just kind of, like, not self-correct per se, but, like, it would be way easier to implement the drastic changes that need to be made because a lot of these broken institutions are like side effects of this larger capitalist machine trickling into all these other areas and fucking everything up. So I don't know. But again, because I, you know, we're comedians, we're writers, we're entertainers. I always think of, I'm like, well, I have no expertise in anything literally besides movies and talking about them and writing them. So, like, the thing that I can contribute to the betterment of society is, like, the narratives that I put out.
Yeah.
And then I can also be critical of the other media that exists. And so when I write movies, when I write stories, I am, like, making sure, because there's, I mean, listen to the Bechdel cast if you want to hear about all of the fuckery that happens in movies, but like...
And y'all talk about cop movies very often?
We talk about cop movies, yeah. So we did a recent episode on Zootopia. We did a pretty recent episode on like Speed as like basically a very deliberate propaganda movie that came out like a year after the Rodney King riots, and it takes place in L.A., and it's about this hero L.A.
Who wrote
cop.
It?
I don't even remember. But
just like one of the writers who writes everything.
Maybe. What sucks is that Speed fucking slaps. Like, that's such a fun movie to watch, but it shouldn't be because we shouldn't... Anyway, I've already said my piece, but like, I'm very
well, it's like all those great hip-hop songs that are saying... misogynistic things, but they are so good. You know what I mean?
So fun to dance keep, to.
But it is, I mean, that is an area where I go, guys, do we want to be moral people who are making decisions rooted in trying to make the world a better place, or do we want to just keep dancing to the songs, watching and making the movies, shopping at Amazon 24/7, you know, all the different things that we just allow ourselves to be completely complicit and lazy. And I think most people, even like, you know, there's so many people on the blue team side of things who just think of themselves as good people for like theoretically having good beliefs, good, but they don't do anything.
There's no action.
And they suck Jeff Bezos' dick all day, knowing that, you know, the same people who were like, I'll never shop at Walmart. It's killing the middle class and it's bad for whatever. Well, Amazon has devastated everything way more than Walmart ever did. And they can't stop it. They go, everyone else is doing it, you know? And it's like stuff like this where I'm like, well, okay, but do we want to keep, do you want to make those movies and just not worry about it? Do you want to, you know, actually try to be making these difficult decisions and in sacrificing something like Speed? Like, we should probably be boycotting things more. But more than boycotting things, though, is the who is making stuff side of things. And people who are making stuff need to care.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is my piece, and I'm sticking to it.
Right. Yeah. Any final thoughts about cop movies?
I just wish, again, like, I own many of these on DVD, like Hot Fuzz.
But that's good, actually, that you already own them. Because now you're not giving them a Netflix bump or whatever, you know, all these things. The best thing you could do is go to a thrift store, get a VHS, or it could be a DVD, but, you know. But that's a good point. Because if you care about being a moral consumer, then not giving your money to the people who made a movie that you now think, you know, if this is propaganda after Rodney King, like, you know, fuck that. And we shouldn't, that's so, you know, you do want, but if it's a good movie, get it from a thrift store or Craigslist, you know, whatever, Facebook Marketplace, even get it from a person. That was something that, like, Aziz Ansari, I saw him at the store when I was in LA, and like, he was kind of talking about, and he's trying to do crowd work. If like, is anyone not shopping Amazon? And he couldn't really find anyone. I was way in the back and didn't want to get into a conversation with him. But but he couldn't really find anyone who genuinely like didn't shop at Amazon for the reasons of like not that it's immoral to continue to just give this all your money, even though they've got the government to, which means our tax, you know, dollars to subsidize their shipping so much. You know, all the things that that goes on to it, that like it's not a good situation, and he treats his people, you know, all that kind of stuff. It would be nice to have a very convenient, we can get everything we want, but we should probably have to pay a little bit more for everything, and
The employees of those facilities need to be treated.
And then, so all of those things, we should be paying the true cost of what we're getting on Amazon instead of our tax dollars being funneled to pay for him to be able to get it to us that cheap, which is what happens. And then he needs to treat his employees better, as do almost all bosses. So, but, you know, so he's asking that and like couldn't really find anyone. But he finally found someone, and, you know, he tells a story of like, well, he just wanted a spatula. And so he was like, but then, so ultimately me and my girlfriend just go to Sur La Table, and, you know, it takes 45 minutes to get there. And then, you know, we just buy this thing. And it's like, that was probably made by slave children too, right? You know, I'm like, I just go to a thrift store, hire someone, you have enough money, hire someone to find it secondhand.
Yeah.
There are plenty of spatulas in the world. Hire someone, go to a farmer's market where they carve things out of wood. Aziz. I just don't. You really don't have the imagination.
He's going to hear this, and he's going to be like, "Wow, you're so right."
Tell him in person one day, but you know. But I was just frustrated because I was like, "This a group full of hundreds of people, and he's trying. God bless him. He's trying to think through a difficult issue, which is he kind of knows that Amazon is not what we should be doing. But all, his imagination is, I'll go to just a fancy mall shop, and I'll just pay too much for a stupid like You have enough money that you can get a wooden one from a nice, whatever, sustainable tree.
Right.
You have enough money to hire someone. Literally, I'm like, if you don't want to go to a thrift store yourself, like, you didn't like that it took 2 hours to get a thing? Create a job.
Right.
Pay someone to go to, you know, nicer thrift stores or look through Amazon Market, you know, what or not, or Facebook Marketplace or whatever, and find things that were otherwise, that need a home. There's so much stuff already.
I really agree. I hate waste. I love thrifting. I like buying used stuff. And but people are obsessed with like, no, it's gotta be brand new. It's gotta be blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, no.
This is right. And it's like, I understand that our economy will not continue to grow if we don't buy more, new. But what are we gonna do about the Earth's resources? And the fact is like, we don't, the people who are benefiting from the economy growing all the time are just the capitalists who have the money, who get to speculate, who get to just make money if it grows at all. Like,
right.
There's, you know, we don't, it's fine if our economy deflates, you know.
The way I see it is in like, I don't know, 30 to 50 years, we'll all be murdering each other during the water wars.
Yeah.
All trying to get access to clean drinking water, and it'll be like Mad Max Fury Road, which is about a movie about a former cop. Oopsies.
Or former.
Former, but I think he's only a former cop because literally society crumbled so much that there are, like,
that's
nothing recognizable as a police force.
Right.
So anyway, but do I have a Mad Max Fury Road tattoo on my arm? Yes,
oh, is
I
that
do.
What that is?
Yeah. So it's complicated.
No, yeah, I am worried about water, but I don't know how long we have before the water wars.
I'm like, is it in our lifetime? I hope not.
Depends on how long our lifetimes are, probably. Anything could get us, but all right. Well, so I do think we had some good ideas for people. I mean, and I would be curious to see, because I always open it up to if a future guest want to come on and tell us what we got wrong. I'm curious to see, especially from conservative people, like, are we wrong about any of the criticisms that we're making? I mean, like, what are you, because I listen to, you know, a lot of both sides, and what I'm hearing is conservative people, the ones that are trying at all, are saying, hey, we just need better, we actually need more money because we need better training and better blah, 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 blah. And the liberals are basically saying, we got to tear it down and build it back up. So it's like, can we, from those two perspectives, if you're both saying we need to improve it.
Yeah.
We're in agreement right now. I think that we need to improve it. But so I'm like, yeah, do the people who are like really in the kind of quote unquote pro cop world, like, what do they say about these things where we're like, well, they were rooted in, you know, a shitty beginnings, and we know about all the corruption. Everyone knows about there's so much of this corruption and shitty policing and blah, blah, blah. So again, like the ones I'm hearing, one of the ones that I would bother listening to understand that we need reform. I'm curious if there are people who are out there going, actually, cops are way better than y'all are saying, and we don't need that much reform, and it's really just, you know, so just putting that up there.
Sure.
But is there anywhere you would like to direct people?
I would suggest listening to I'm going to plug someone else's podcast.
Love it.
And then I'll plug my stuff.
We should do that. We should always do that.
I learned a lot from a podcast called Behind the Police, which is a mini series of Behind the Bastards, which is a podcast hosted by Robert Evans. Behind the Police does a deep dive into the kind of just history of policing, specifically in the U.S., and talks about all of those like roots, and then brings us up to modern day policing, and it's just like listing the facts of how everything originated and how it's operating now. He's also joined in this miniseries by Jason Petty, aka Propaganda, who is a hip-hop artist and poet. But it's a really great miniseries, and I learned a lot, and I think other people will too. And then, I don't know, should I plug my stuff?
Yeah, of course.
I am a co-host of a podcast called The Bechdel Cast. You have been a guest.
Which movie do we...
It was 40 Days and 40 Nights.
Oh, is it? That's funny. Yeah, with the hairdryer. Okay. Right?
I don't know. It's when Josh Hartnett is like, I'm not going to have sex.
Yeah. I just remember there being a hairdryer on the cover of that.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that. Anyway.
He's probably blowing his balls free of sexual tension. I don't know.
Right. So, anyway, we've covered that and many, many other movies because we examine movies through an intersectional feminist lens. And you can check that out. And then you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Caitlin Dropley. I teach screenwriting
spell
classes.
Caitlin, like Caitlin Jenner, or
it's spelling. She spells it with a Y.
Oh, yeah, mine
is CAITLIN. I teach screenwriting classes, and I tell people don't write propaganda movies.
Which is good. You're being the change you want to see in the world.
I'm doing my best. But I come at everything. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Go to my website, CaitlinDurante.com, for more info about that. And that's it.
Cool. Thanks.
You made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much. That's so cool of you. I hope you found some things to agree with, and I hope you found some things to disagree with in everything that we talked about. We said a lot, really. And, I was thinking about it because the night after I recorded this, I actually did wind up watching a movie, which is a rare occurrence in my life. I only watched the first half of the movie, and I probably won't ever finish it. Super 8. It was fine. It was cute, but... it was just intriguing to me because here we are. Like, I would have never thought about this if I hadn't recorded the podcast. I never would have thought about the police representation that was in front of me watching that. And instead, I'm like, I'm watching the guy from Friday Night Lights be this little police officer in the small town where this crazy alien shit's happening, and the like FBI or whoever are there to clean it up. And like, he gets all involved and is detective working stuff and figuring it out and helping. And I'm like, yeah, like that's not realistic. Some cop dude wouldn't be that good at figuring stuff out, wouldn't give a shit, would just defer to the authority probably of the FBI, wouldn't be like this savior in this town who is figuring, like the whole cop department in that town isn't going to be like, yeah, we should defy the FBI and figure out what's really going, like that whole thing did seem completely unrealistic and very cop aggrandizing, very propaganda-ish. Again, I didn't finish the movie, and so I probably won't. So, and if you want to write me about anything in this episode, including Super 8, feel free to spoil it for me. So write me if you have thoughts and opinions about this. You can email me ariel.norman@gmail.com or hit me up on Instagram at ellendegenderless. And also just, support the podcast, rate, review, subscribe. You can find our Patreon or Substack. We've got some new Substack. I do forget to mention on here that you can join the Substack for free and you'll get some version of it. You won't get everything that I put out and you won't be able to comment on stuff that I do put out, but it's a cool way if you want to just kind of glimpse some of what you'll get something, and then, maybe one day you'll subscribe or subscribe. Give me money. Anyway, so yeah, rate, review, subscribe. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. You can give us a rating on Spotify now. That is all great. Tell a friend, share this in some way on social media. Super, super, super. Patreon.com/politicallyNB. NB, the letters. Or wrongqo.substack.com. Because again, I have not gotten around to figuring out how to change the name of the Substack. But we got new Substack subscribers anyway. Anyway, we'll get there. It'll be fine. In really positive news, I have hired a producer for this podcast. Raymond Cabrera has agreed to be my producer daddy. So I'll just call him that. Except I'm paying him, but still. you're not a daddy if you get paid. I guess I'm his daddy. Anyway, so this is good news for everyone because this means that the podcast will probably be coming out more often and at some point on a regular basis, like on a regular day, if that helps some of you losers with regular schedules. And it's going to, you know, have better quality. Everything should be sounding better. And then just I'll be less crazy because that's one of 33 jobs. Well, it's like a few of 33 jobs that I'm offloading. And so stuff like that is happening and it'll be great. And then, you know, I'll improve the podcast and then you'll be more incentivized to give us money. Yay. There's going to be a whole team of people and you should give us money so that we are not doing this as your slaves. Slavery is wrong, so give us money. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay, so yeah, anyway, but also just, you know, rate this podcast, you fucking cheap loser. Thanks.
Hey there, this is Raymond Cabrera. I am the new producer for the Politically Non-Binary podcast. I'm super excited to be here, and I can't wait to say things at the end of the podcast and make things extremely awkward. So glad to be here. Hope you guys enjoy this. And be sure to follow up and listen to future episodes. Thanks again and have a good day.